Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to everyone. Today is really special to me, not only because I'm a father, but because it also reminds me of some things that I think is important for us to think about in our families and in our church. Some principles that are not only unique to fathers, but also kind of universal truths for us to think about. We know that fathers are important. And let me just pause and say that there are many single mothers out there who are really rising above their circumstances and doing a fantastic job. But that's not how God intended things to be. He intended for there to be a father and a mother raising their children together. But just a few things. There's been many studies that support this notion that a father in the home who is engaged in the business of leading his family and raising his kids has a profound influence on his children. Just one particular study showed that children who grow up with involved fathers at home are 39% more likely to get A's in school. They're 45% less likely to repeat a grade. They're 60% less likely to be expelled or suspended from school. They're twice as likely to go to university and find stable employment after high school. They're 75% less likely to have a teen birth, and 80% less likely to spend time in jail. It's just proven that in general, having a father who is involved in the home greatly has a positive impact and influence on the children's life. It's interesting, I think, that the living God has chosen to reveal himself as our Heavenly Father. And to help us understand the relationship between him and the Lord Jesus, he describes himself as God the Father, and the Lord Jesus has been revealed to us as God the Son. And that's supposed to help us frame their relationship in a way that we kind of understand. I don't think that we completely understand that relationship within the Godhead, but he's revealed himself in this way to help us to understand it. I think it teaches us something about his relationship within the Godhead, but I think it also gives us a pattern for us. And so let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 14, Paul says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I think Paul had a great indictment, one of many, but this particular area, against the Corinthian church. He was acknowledging that they had many, many teachers. He uses that phrase, 10,000, which we see that in a few different places, of being almost a numberless multitude, right? 10,000 upon 10,000. He's saying, although you have all of these teachers in Christ, you don't have many fathers. And it was an indictment. And so he urges them, imitate me. And then he tells them that he's sending Timothy, who will be able to set things in order, who will be able to not only teach, but to disciple. That he would remind them of the ways in Christ that Paul teaches everywhere. He wanted them to pattern themselves after him. And it seems as though Paul's view of fathers was one of discipleship. It seems as though Paul viewed the people that he had led to the Lord or who he had discipled as his children in the faith. So it was almost a synonymous meaning here, that he would have children in the faith and these are people that he is discipling or has been discipling. This picture of a father is equally one of a person who disciples. In 3 John 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so there is a great need, not only in families today, to have strong fathers, men who are engaged in what's going on in their families, who are leading, who are taking the job of raising their children seriously and being involved in that. That's a serious need. But there's also a serious need in our churches to have not only men, people who are engaged in this work of discipling. They had this problem in Israel. And if you'd like to turn there in Judges chapter 2, Judges chapter 2, in verse 6 it says, and when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. And now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that, this is verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Now that is a tragedy. After Joshua and the elders who had been witness to the great works of the Lord that he had done for Israel, when after they died, there arose a generation who did not know the Lord. Now, to me, that's very scary. That it doesn't take very long at all for there to rise up a generation who are ignorant of the things that their parents knew. Joshua and the elders, they passed away. A generation rose up that didn't know the Lord or the things that he had done for Israel. There was a tremendous failure that they did not pass these things along. It goes on in verse 11. It says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. There is a tremendous danger here, a note of warning to us as fathers, to us as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that it does not take long for people to forget. This discipling process, this passing down of the wondrous works of the Lord needs to take place. Now, the Lord had mercy on them and He raised up judges for them. And when the Lord would raise up a judge, He would have mercy on them and they would have times of peace. They would have some times of blessing. But it seems as though when that judge would die, they would forsake the Lord again. And then the book of Judges ends with that terrible statement in Judges 21:25, and you probably know it. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." I don't think it takes us very long to think about what happens when people do what is right in their own eyes. I mean, we have examples of it in the Word of God with Israel. We see how tragic that is. We have plenty of examples. We look around in our world and people call good evil. They call evil good. And you could probably think of many examples of people who do what is right in their own eyes. People who do not know the Lord. People who do not know of the wondrous works that He's done. Of the offer of salvation that He gives. It's no wonder that Paul gives this instruction in Philippians. And I'll turn there. Sorry, I don't know if I said Philippians. I meant Ephesians, if I didn't say that. Ephesians chapter 6, and the first four verses there, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You notice there that the children are reminded of the command to obey their parents. And that is very important. It's the commandment with promise. But they're commanded to obey their parents, father and mother. And then the exhortation is given to the fathers. Do not provoke your children to wrath, right? To deal with them in the proper way, but to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In this particular instance, the exhortation is given to the fathers to bring their children up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. It is a tremendous responsibility placed on the father. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that mothers are to do this as well, but here, the exhortations to the fathers. He could have easily given that exhortation to both parents. He gave that exhortation in reminding children of the command to obey your parents. He mentions parents, both parents, but the exhortation is given to the father. This is one of those universal truths, though. We should all be training. We should all be discipling as followers of Christ. We can all apply these truths to our lives. So if you're not a father and you're listening to this, don't check out on me. This is something that is applicable to every single one of us. But it is important to notice that this was something, an exhortation given to the fathers. And so it is the father's responsibility, and we need to be careful as fathers not to abdicate our responsibility, which often happens. And we'll go into all of that, the consequences of the curse, of the fall of man. But we are to stay engaged. We are to take that seriously. We are to bring up our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. So how are we to do this? It's easy to say that. It's easy to say, bring up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But what does that look like? How do you get that done? And I think that part of the answer, at least, we can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 1, says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you, or has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. This is verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What is he describing here? This is discipling. This is how it happens. If you didn't pick up on it, it should happen all the time. When you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and he talks about binding them as a sign on your hand, and there should be frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts. And many have taken that very literally. And you can see that in different communities. But I think the thought here was that this should be taking place all the time. Yes, it should be those appointed times when we gather as a church and we're teaching the Word of God. Yes, that is a part of it. But it's so much more than that. And we need to be reminded to think about those ways in which we can disciple our children and one another all the time, taking every opportunity to give some instruction, to give a word of encouragement. It goes on down in verse 20. He says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. For the people of Israel, they had the statutes, they had the judgments, and as time went on, they had memorials, right? They had these stones set up so that when their kids would ask their parents or their grandparents or their uncle, what do these stones mean? And they'd say, oh, you'll never believe it. But when the Lord was delivering us and we crossed over the river, God stopped the river. And you see that rock? Guess where it came from? It came out of the river. God stopped it. And your uncle, he went over there and he picked up that rock from out of the middle of where the river was and he set it here. And so did many of our other relatives. And then after we all crossed over, the waters came back. And it stands here as a monument for us so that we don't forget what the Lord has done for us. So that we don't forget that we were once strangers in Egypt. We were slaves. We were strangers. We were abandoned, as it were. And so that's why we want to be hospitable. We want to show mercy to the stranger because that's where we once were. So you see this idea for them that they would teach this to their children. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It wasn't only for them, it was for the nations as well, that they would tell of the wondrous works of God. They would say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? And in verse 9 he says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. I believe this translates directly to our families and to our church family. We need to take these exhortations given to the children of Israel for ourselves, that we would teach our children, that we would teach one another of the mighty works of God, lest we forget the things, and lest our children and our grandchildren forget the things. Back over into the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, says, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. Saints, we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. We've been given gifts from him so that we may serve the Lord, we may serve our church in a particular way, so that we may grow together in what it has is described as a perfect man or a mature person in the fullness of Christ. So, how the Lord has gifted you, you exercise that gift, but also you teach others so that you can build us up as well. Somebody who has the gift of evangelism, yes, they are to go out and to win souls for Christ, but they're also to teach us as well into how to do that. For the equipping of the saints. Right? Whatever your gift is, you need to be serving in that gift. But you also need to be equipping the rest of us and how the Lord has gifted you for the work of the ministry. That's so very important. So, having said all that, let us not repeat the same mistake that Israel made. They failed to pass on the mighty works of the Lord. They failed to teach these judgments and statutes. And one generation later, there was a people who did not know the Lord. They did not know the things that He had done for them. And the fallout, or the effects of that, were very tragic for the nation of Israel. So we need to be careful of that. I'm so thankful for my own father, who took the time to invest in my life, to raise me up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I'm so thankful for the other father figures that the Lord brought into my life, who also took the time to invest in me, to disciple me, to shape me, help shape me into the person I am today. Fathers have a tremendous effect on their children. So today, as we celebrate fathers, rightfully so, let's be reminded of how we are to be as fathers with our children, how we are to be as brothers and sisters in the Lord, equipping one another, encouraging one another, building one another up, teaching one another of the wondrous works of God. Let's be families who have fathers who are engaged in the work of raising their children, who are teaching them of what the Lord has done. Let's be a people who are taking the time to invest in one another and build one another up. It's a charge that He's given to us, an exhortation, an expectation of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just ask Him for help. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your example to us. It teaches us what a loving Father is like. We pray that You would help each and every one of us who are fathers, of children of any age, that we would be engaged in teaching them, in training them, in bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We ask for Your help as it reminds us of how we are to be with one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we should be equipping one another for the work of the ministry, that we should be discipling one another, even as we have an example in the Old Testament. When we sit down, when we walk by the way, when we rise up, we would be looking for the opportunities and taking those times to pour into one another's lives, to invest in each other. Lord, we ask for Your help, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.